Good morning again, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church. I'm here with the prayerful support of my pastor and my elders. Today is Good Friday. I'm down here today to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you and to read the four gospel accounts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, my friends, there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is no reconciliation with God by way of religion. There is no reconciliation with God by way of religion, by way of good works. There is reconciliation with God only through God, through the God-man, Jesus Christ. God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin. Yeah, don't shake your head, young man, because you're going to stand before Him one day. Why don't you come over here and dialogue if you're open-minded? Are you open-minded, young man? Are you a free thinker? Come on over, let's chat. God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that through Him we might receive the righteousness of God. My friends, there is only one Jesus Christ. There are many different representations of Jesus, but there's only one that's true. The Mormons would tell you that Jesus is a created being who is the spirit brother of Satan. Well, that's a lie. It's not true. The Jehovah's Witnesses would tell you that Jesus is a created being and that He is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. That's not true. That's a lie. The Muslims would tell you that Jesus was a good prophet, but He was second to Muhammad. That's not true. That's a lie. Jesus created Muhammad, and it was before Christ who Muhammad stood to give an account for His life. Jesus... How do you know that, sir? How do you know that?
Because, dude, you have no proof.
How do you know that, sir?
Because you're talking out of your ass.
How do you know that, sir?
Because you're making up shit.
How do you know that, sir? How do you know? How do you know that, sir? Do you have anything intelligent to say?
Metro.
Do you have anything intelligent
metro,
to say,
metro,
sir?
Metro.
Nothing. Yes. What is it?
You're
when are you going
to
begin?
Tales.
You don't know that, sir.
You should write a book.
Have you ever read this book?
I read parts of it.
Yes. How many?
It was Ezekiel that you should eat shit and drink piss. Do you do that?
You're wrong, sir. You're a blasphemer of God.
No, that's in your Bible. You don't even know your Bible. Your Bible says that you should worship Amun-Ra.
That's not true, sir.
It's right there in the Bible. You
true,
haven't
sir.
Even read
sir, how many
your Bible.
How many books are in the Bible, sir?
Why do you say amen if
how
you're
many,
in a prayer?
How many books are
Why
in the Bible,
Why do you say
sir?
Amen right. to a prayer?
Sir, you're not interested in the conversation, are you?
You know what?
You're not,
These
sir.
Guys
you're
were
just
junkies.
Ranting.
These
this
guys
is a hater
junkies.
Of God.
These
this
guys
is what a hater
junkies.
Of God looks like, my friends.
We
and
stop.
He's going to stand
we
before God to give an account. No, let him go. Let him go. He's harmless.
Atun created.
Like him, we're all going to stand before God to give an account for our life. My friend, blasphemers like this will stand before God and He will give an account for his life. He will be judged according to the law of God.
You are a theo-fascist.
No, sir, you're
yes,
a judgmental
you
man. You are such a judgmental man. Why are you so hateful?
Because
why are you so hateful, sir?
I'm a free thinker.
No, you're not, sir. You're,
I did not want your imaginary no. God
you're,
telling me
you're
how
not.
To live my
how
life.
How you doing? We're okay, Rick.
Another
We're okay, buddy. No problem. No, you're not a free thinker, sir. Your thinking is limited to your sin. Sir, your free thinking is limited to your sin. You're not a free thinker, sir.
There's no such thing as sin. What is a sin?
Sin is a violation of God's law.
You make up.
We're fine. We're okay.
What God?
No worries.
What God? No.
He's eventually going to give up.
Arrest me.
He's eventually going to lose his voice or something.
You have five kids.
I have five kids. I have
five kids. You have five kids.
I don't have five kids.
Lathering your spam.
I don't have five kids. I don't have five kids. You're a blasphemer, sir. And you're going to stand before God to give an account for your life.
What's a blasphemer?
Blasphemer is one who takes God.
You're
name.
An imaginary God?
No, sir.
Well, you're an idiot.
Sir, you know that God exists.
You worship
You know that God
prince.
Exists.
You're deluded.
And you suppress the truth by your unrighteousness.
You
suppress the truth by your unrighteousness.
You,
you love your sin.
We're
okay. Don't worry. We're all right, buddy, but thank you. Thank you, though. I'll holler if I need you. I'll holler if I need you.
All right. Please, arrest me for not believing his God. Let's put this on YouTube. Oh, here's a heretic. He doesn't believe God. We should burn him. He's a witch. He's a witch. Burn the witch. Please, burn the witch. He's a heretic. Even though you don't even know what's written in that Bible.
Really?
Why don't you look it up?
I'm gonna read it right now.
No, you read the
Bible. No, I'm going to read the Bible right now.
Why don't you read the part about Ezekiel?
Mark, where we should beginning in chapter 14, verse 1.
Yeah.
It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people.
You should kill me.
And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment and pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have them. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to... I don't want to talk to you, sir.
You're, well, I want to talk to you.
Well, you can talk all you want. You can talk all you want. I am not going to play God's defense attorney in your blasphemous courtroom.
Because your God doesn't exist.
No, you know that God exists, but you love your sin more than you love God.
Your God doesn't exist in that dog shit by the tree, dude. Your God is just a product of your Christo-Catholic imagination.
My hope for you is that you will repent and come to faith in Christ.
I have a question.
My hope for you is that you'll repent and come to faith in Christ. I don't want you to perish in your sin.
You don't even know where religion is.
I don't want you to perish in your sin. I don't hate you.
Your stupid religion was created by Constantine.
I don't hate you.
By the Roman Empire.
I don't hate you, sir.
Constantine. 325 AD.
I don't hate you, sir.
Your religion was created over a Roman
Empire. That's not true. You're lying, sir.
It's the facts, dude.
You're lying, sir. You're lying.
You want to teach your bullshit?
Sir, you're a liar, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You're a liar.
Are you God? You're judging me now? I thought your God was supposed to judge. How do you know what your God wants?
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Eric, leave him alone. I'm going to read the word of God. Let him vomit from the mouth all he wants.
Oh, dude, I'm coming here every day.
Please do.
We can talk to...
Please do. I want you to hear the gospel every day. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us go? Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and where he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready there prepared for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining, at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, sir, we have free Bibles right over there, sir. We have free Bibles right over there.
Demos. Rule of the tyranny.
And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, and one who is eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one after another, is it I? He said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take this. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he gave thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not that I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour is come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given him a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize him. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands." Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. My friends, you saw the ranting of a hater of God. And he runs, he flees, while no one pursues. That's what the wicked do. There is no reasoning with people like that. But you know what? Jesus Christ died for people like that. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And while that man was shouting and blaspheming God and cursing, his heart's no different than anyone else that doesn't know Christ. His heart is no different than anyone else who doesn't know Christ. His heart is the same.
It's not a difference between the people who don't know Christ and ones who are non-believers, because he's obviously a non-believer.
No, you either are born again, a follower of Jesus Christ, or you are an unsaved sinner who denies the Christ. There are only two categories of people. There are the saved, and there are the unsaved. There are not the doubting and the disbelieving and the atheist and the agnostic. They're all in the same category. They're lost and bound for hell apart from Jesus Christ. There were two men on crosses of either side of Jesus Christ who maligned Christ and cursed him, just as this man out of his mind with hate was doing here. But one of those two men came to their senses by the grace of God. One of those two men looked at the other man who was still cursing him and said, "This man doesn't deserve to die this way. We do. We are under judgment. We are under condemnation. This man doesn't deserve to die under our condemnation." And then he looks at Jesus and he says, "Remember me this day when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What good did that man do? What good thing did that man do to earn the forgiveness of Christ there on the cross? Absolutely nothing. Did baptism save him? No. He wasn't baptized on that cross. Did good works save him? No. What kind of good works could he do nailed to his own cross? Could religion save him? No. He was a denier of God right up until a few minutes before he was saved. No, salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. It is by grace we are saved, through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. Religion does not set you free, my friends. Religion makes you a slave to that religion. Good deeds do not set you free, my friends. Good deeds makes you a slave to works righteousness. No, the only one who can save you is the only one who paid the penalty for sin, and the only one who forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Muhammad cannot save you, my friends. Muhammad is dead. Buddha cannot save you, my friends. Buddha is dead. The millions of false gods created by paganist hands in the many Eastern paganist religions like Hinduism, they cannot save you, my friends. They are inanimate objects that cannot feel, cannot see, cannot touch, cannot comfort, cannot correct, cannot question, cannot judge, cannot destroy, cannot save. They are pieces of wood, metal, and stone that a billion people, because of their love for sin and hatred of God, bow down to worship idols. Well, my friends, there's a more common form of idolatry right here in California, and it's idolatry of the mind. It's when we create a God in our own imagination to suit ourselves. A God that will turn a blind eye to our sin, but he'll be quick to judge someone who we think is a bigger sinner than us. A God who will applaud our sin. A God that we'll look at as one of many ways to heaven. A genie in a bottle that we'll keep on a shelf until we want something from that God. And then we'll bring the bottle down, we will rub the bottle, and if that genie gives us what we want, well then we'll worship the God of our own creation. And if he doesn't, then we'll just move on to a new bottle and rub that one. That's idolatry too, my friends. It's idolatry of the mind. Start any sentence with, "My God wouldn't," and you show yourself to be an idolater. "My God wouldn't punish homosexuality." That's because your God doesn't exist outside of your mind. "My God thinks abortion is okay. My God is pro-choice." That's because your God doesn't exist outside of your imagination. "My God's Republican." That's because your God doesn't exist outside of your sinful mind. "My God's a Democrat." It's because your God doesn't exist outside of your imagination. "My God's a woman." It's because your God doesn't exist outside of your sinful mind. "My God doesn't send anyone to hell." I agree. Because your imaginary God is incapable of being just. And that same imaginary God is incapable of saving you from your sin for the same reason. He doesn't exist outside of your mind. And those were the gods I worshipped before God changed my heart. Those were the gods I worshipped before Jesus Christ saved me. A filthy sinner who hated other human beings, all the while saying, "I'm a good guy." If God gave me what I deserve today, I would receive the wrath of God and I would spend eternity in hell for my sins against Him. But I'm going to heaven. Now that may sound arrogant at first glance, but hear me out. I'm not going to heaven because of who I am.
I'm going to heaven in spite of who I am. I'm going to heaven because of who Jesus Christ is. My place in heaven has absolutely nothing to do with me. Nothing at all. Some churches will lie to you and say, God loves you just the way you are. It's not true. God loves you in spite of who you are. God loves in spite of who we are. Not because of who we are, because there's nothing good in us. There's nothing worthy of God's praise. There's nothing worthy of God's love. There's nothing worthy of God's mercy. There's nothing worthy of God's forgiveness in us. Because we have all violated God's law and we stand guilty and condemned before Him. But yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that man who so hated God and the simple reading of God's Word, God can save him too. Not because he deserves it, not because he's earned it, not because he's good, but because God is good. It is not on the basis that of anything we do in righteousness by which we're saved. It is based on the mercy of God by which we are saved. And you need to keep this in mind too, my friends. If you are sitting on this false idea that you're a good person, and that you're a nice person, and that you're worthy of God's forgiveness, you need to understand that there are much nicer people than you and me in hell today, burning forever. Because your goodness will never get you into heaven. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. It is not Jesus plus anything. It is not Jesus plus religion. It is not Jesus plus good works. It is not Jesus plus your dynamic personality. It is Christ alone. Christ alone. Continuing now in Mark chapter 14, verse 62. May God give you ears to hear. And Jesus said to him, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy! And the guards received him with blows. You all right, sir? Everything okay, sir? Something funny? Verse 66, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. Chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer. So that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?
for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And some ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that this was he, that in him, and this was in this way he had breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. And when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. My friends, in more than one of the gospel accounts, the witness talks about the veil of the temple being torn in two. This is literally pregnant with meaning. This is so important for you to understand. There was a cloth. God bless you, man. You have a good day. There was a solid curtain, likely 20 feet tall, and as thick as a man's hand. One solid piece of cloth that separated the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place of the Jewish temple, from the outer courts and the other parts of the temple. The Jewish high priest was allowed to go inside the Holy of Holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the people. As Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit," as he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." That curtain, as thick as a human hand and some 20 feet tall, was torn from top to bottom. What does that mean? It shows that we have but one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ. That's what it means. My friends, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of His satisfaction of the sin debt that each of us owe to God when He shed His innocent blood on the cross, if we come to Christ through repentance and faith in Christ alone, we no longer need any other mediators between us and God. We need no high priest. We need no simple priest. You no longer have to sit in a little dark closet while a sinful man behind the veil hears your sinful confessions. He can't absolve you. He can't forgive you. Because he cannot forgive himself. Because he's a sinner like the rest of us. No, there is one mediator between God and man. That is the man Jesus. The God-man Jesus. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior has direct and immediate access to God the Father through God the Son. You do not have to pray to men. You do not have to confess to men. Your sin debt is to God. Your sin debt is not to men. Religions that say you must pray to a man to receive forgiveness enslave you to those sinful beliefs. Those religions don't set anybody free. They enslave them. The truth will set you free. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. And He will set you free indeed. Muhammad can't set you free because Muhammad is not free. Buddha cannot set you free because Buddha is not free. The Pope cannot set you free because the Pope is not free. Until he repents and puts his trust in Christ alone, he is as dead in his sin as a common prostitute on the street. He needs the grace of God as much as that hateful, blasphemous man who stood here for 10 or 15 minutes cursing God. God bless you, ma'am. Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set you free. He's the only one who can. A slave cannot set himself free from his master. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your master is sin and death. And you can't set yourself free from that. Religion will not set you free from that. Good works will not set you free from that. Denial of the truth will not set you free from that. Only faith. And only faith in Jesus Christ alone will set you free. You know you need the forgiveness of God. You know that you are not good according to God's definition of good, and neither am I. God's definition of good is moral perfection, and none of us live up. Jesus said you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and none of us can live to that holy standard. But God does not lower His standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. That's why we need a Savior, and that's why God has provided only one, Himself, in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when He forgives you, unlike a priest, or a rabbi, or an imam, or a pastor, or a spiritual guru, when Jesus Christ forgives you, He takes your sin, and He removes it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more! Why is that significant? Why is it significant that the prophet would write that He forgives sin as far as the east is from the west? This is why. My friends, we could go to the North Pole and go no further north. We can go to the South Pole and go no further south. Those are finite points. They have an end. But the equator is like a ring a married man wears on his finger to acknowledge his lifelong commitment to his spouse. That ring goes on forever and ever and ever. It has no beginning. It has no end. The forgiveness of Christ, forgiveness available only through Jesus Christ, has no end. He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it no more. You will be clean in the eyes of God, not by what you've done, but by Jesus washing you clean through His shed blood on the cross. My friends, our hope is not to stand before God and have Him see us as righteous. Because we are not righteous in our flesh. Our good deeds are nothing but filthy rags before a holy God. Our only hope is for God to see us clothed in the perfect, beautiful righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which Christians commemorate today as Good Friday, that makes the way possible for you to receive forgiveness and for you to receive the free gift of eternal life. And this is the ultimate message of love. This is the ultimate message of love. And if you don't see it as such, it is because you love your sin more than you love God. It is because you love yourself more than you love God. And God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself this day before the mighty hand of God, and on the last day, He will raise you up. He will raise you up. Not because you are good, but because of the goodness of God that drew you to Himself, caused you to be born again, and extended to you the gifts of repentance and faith that only He can give. Mark chapter 15, continuing in verse 42. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that He should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. My friends, so many claim that this story is nothing more than a legend. They say that this is nothing more than a book of fairy tales, a book written by confused, maybe even delusional men. And the people who say those things are simply haters of God. my friends, over the last 2,000 years, if this story were not true, it would have been very easy to discredit. But it never has been. Atheists try. The Discovery Channel tries. The Muslims try. The Jehovah's Witnesses try. And they try only to their own shame and peril. More than 500 eyewitnesses testified, many of them going to their death, that they saw the risen Lord. Not only did they see that the tomb was empty, but they talked with him, they walked with him, they broke bread with him. Thomas, one of the 12, who's commonly referred to as Doubting Thomas, he was not with the others when Jesus first appeared to the disciples after he had risen from the dead. And Thomas said, unless I put my finger in his hands, in the wounds of his hands, and put my finger in his side, I will not believe. And at that moment, Jesus appears to the disciples, including Thomas. Thomas didn't look at Jesus, rub his eyes, pat his stomach and think, did I have too much mustard on my falafel for lunch? No. He dropped to his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus' response was, blessed are you, Thomas, for you see and believe. But more blessed are those who believe but have not yet seen. My friends, each and every one of us live by faith. You live by faith that the bus driver is not taking any medication today. You live by faith that you're going to walk across the street looking at your iPhone and that someone driving down Lancashire isn't doing the same thing at the same time. You live by faith when you get in your car and you come to the first red light that when you hit the brakes, they're going to work. You eat in restaurants, my friends. You live by faith. You believe that A on the window of the restaurant. You believe that those who work in restaurants actually wash their hands with hot soapy water after they use the toilet and before they handle your food. You believe by faith. But in the end, my friends, faith is only as reliable as the object of your faith. And if your faith is in anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, your faith is in vain. It is for nothing. And it will only lead you to hell. Now, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for anyone. I don't want anybody within the sound of my voice to perish in their sins. I can't stop it from happening. There's only one lawgiver and judge. There's only one who's able to save and destroy. And that is God Almighty. It's not a sinful guy named Tony. But because I care about you as human beings, I'm pleading with you to come to your senses. You know what I'm telling you this day is true. You know it. Do not let your heart be hardened this day. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you will no longer be a slave to sin. You will be free in Christ, free indeed. And He will take your heart of stone and He will give you a heart of flesh. And you will no longer look in the mirror and see a great guy who deserves heaven. You'll look in the mirror and you'll see a sinner who's been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates. And when you sin against Him, you will no longer presume upon His forgiveness as if it's something God owes you. But by faith and with assurance, you will receive that forgiveness because you know it's not because of your goodness that you're forgiven, but because of the goodness of God that you are forgiven. And that's why Christians call this day Good Friday. Because the good God who created us did the most loving thing God could ever do.
sacrifice himself so that sinners like you and me can live. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said, greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. I served as a deputy sheriff for 20 years. I was on scene following the death of 11 of my fellow deputies in the line of duty over an 8-year period. And each of them willingly sacrificed their life for someone else. Sometimes it was for another deputy. Sometimes it was for someone who hated them. Sometimes it was for someone that they might never meet again. Greater love is no one than this, and than he who lays down his life for his friends. Jesus did that. Jesus laid down his life for his friends, for those who would repent and believe. And as he hung on that cross, they spat at him. They cursed him. They mocked him. They blasphemed him. And Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Such was the love of God. So turn from your sins, my friends. Humble yourself this day. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself this day. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. Thank you for listening.